T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and hump day alohas to you. It's all downhill from this point forward, I'm happy to report. Here we go, most heavily commuted hour of the show is underway. And typically the most heavily congested as well. It's great to have you along today. Hopefully 85 will be a little bit easier in the p.m. rush hour than it was this morning when we had a truck run underneath an 18-wheeler and catch on fire and caused a big mess. Anybody injured in that? I never did hear. We'll find out. Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning Text Line number, 71307. And my email address is bob@1063word.com. A story today that's been all over the newscasts much of the afternoon. A teen infatuated with Columbine, deemed a threat, is found dead. Wrote about suicide and guns in an apparent journal. And there's a picture that's been put out by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. I have my doubts as to whether or not this is the same person we're talking about. Now, another individual just emailed me another picture of this young woman wearing almost like an Antifa kind of mask, you know, covering the nose and the bottom of the face. All you can see are the eyes, and it's hard to tell. But the woman in this picture that's being used all over the web certainly appears to be older than 18. So I don't know if the sheriff's department got the wrong picture or what, or if this person just looks older than she was. 18-year-old who authorities say had an infatuation with the 1999 Columbine High School massacre appears to have kept a journal online in which she wrote about suicide and guns and alluded to plans she was making. Officials said the teen, Sol, S-O-L, Pais, P-A-I-S, of Florida, flew from Miami to Colorado earlier this week, bought a pump-action shotgun and ammunition upon arrival, and then disappeared off their radar, prompting a massive manhunt. Today, a law enforcement official told NBC News she had been found dead. In an apparent journal signed with her full name, which law enforcement has not confirmed belongs to her, Pais appears to describe feeling miserable and out of place, along with having thoughts of suicide and a desire to procure weapons. The journal entries are dated June 2018 through March of this year. I wish I could get a gun by the end of the summer, one entry reads. Had a dream last night about the future, and it was eye-opening. Was only a week away from the day, and I had my blanking shotgun. Investigators say she was obsessed with the shooting at Columbine High that left 12 students and a teacher dead 20 years ago. And by the way, led to many, many changes in the way law enforcement reacts to these situations in a school. Sadly, we saw a repetition in Parkland, Florida last year where that one officer who was the sheriff's officer assigned to that school, rather than entering a school, remained outside. You may remember it at Columbine, the SWAT team remained outside for some time as well, allowing the individuals there to continue shooting people. Meantime, the AG William Barr has now announced he will hold a press conference to discuss the Mueller report at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein will accompany him. What is he still doing there? Was he waiting around for the conclusion of the Mueller report? It's the only thing I can think of. Either that or he's trying to pad his retirement by getting in as many days as he can. But Rosenstein has been saying for months that he was going to leave. And, of course, he's up to his neck in this cabal to try and bring down the Trump administration. There was no indication that the report would be released before the news conference. I had to go back to the office for a moment during a newscast, and the five were up on Fox, and behind them, on the big screen behind them, countdown to release of the Mueller report. Jeez, give me a break. U.S. Attorney General William Barr will discuss Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report in his news conference tomorrow morning. Mueller submitted the report to the DOJ late last month. He'll be releasing a redacted version of the approximately 400-page document, which details Mueller's findings about the Trump campaign and Russian interference in the 2016 election. There was no collusion. This story does not point that out. The redacted Mueller report on Russia election meddling expected to be released to the public later tomorrow morning. The special counsel did not establish conspiracy or coordination between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin, Barr wrote in a four-page summary released 2 days after he got the report. Barr quoted Mueller saying the report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, but it also does not exonerate him on the question of obstruction of justice. Well, look, if the DOJ hasn't indicted him, then he did not obstruct justice. Otherwise, they would have indicted him. The final decision on obstruction was left to Barr and Rosenstein. They concluded, quote, the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. So he's cleared, right? If the evidence didn't establish that he did obstruct justice, they would have indicted him. And instead, here they plainly say the evidence is not sufficient. While Trump has celebrated Barr's summary of Mueller's findings, he's also continued to complain that the investigation was a witch hunt, which it was. And now they have to worry about the AG, about Mr. Barr, coming after the individuals who were involved in this conspiracy to bring down a duly elected president. And let's hope that a bunch of people are going to end up being charged with, at the very least, lying to Congress. Clapper, Comey, probably Strzok, all lied to Congress, some of them on multiple occasions. Now, fortunately, you don't have to wait, because the intrepid reporters in the journalism wing of the Bobby Mack School of Professional Journalism, which is part of course, Insensitivity University, they have already managed to get some of the redacted Mueller report. Can we roll that audio, please, of the redacted Mueller report?
And now, here's an excerpt from the redacted Mueller report.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller says that in the 2016 election, in which, with the Trump campaign showing, Mueller found between and concluded.
This has been an excerpt from the redacted Mueller report.
Well, we did tell you that it was redacted. So there you go. Don't have to wait until 9:30 in the morning. You get tomorrow's news today here on the Bobby Mack Show. 5:15 here on the Hump Day edition. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more on Wednesday. And a little Chicago in the background. 5:22 here on the Bobby Mack Show. So with the curtain coming down on the Mueller report and about to go up, as the Attorney General Bill Barr looks into all these nefarious characters at the FBI, DOJ, et cetera, who were responsible for this coup attempt. Now, I think a lot of people in Washington are getting very nervous. Victor Davis Hanson, who was my guest a couple of weeks ago, wrote a great piece about this way back in February called Autopsy of a Dead Coup, writing the illegal effort to destroy the 2016 Trump campaign by Hillary Clinton's campaign use of funds to create, disseminate among media and then salt among high Obama administration officials. A fabricated opposition smear dossier failed. So has the second special prosecutor phase of the coup attempt to abort the Trump presidency failed. There are many elements to what in time likely will become recognized as the greatest scandal in American political history. And I certainly agree with that assessment. This makes Watergate look like kindergarten stuff. Marking the first occasion in which U.S. government bureaucrats sought to overturn an election and to remove a sitting U.S. president. No palace coup can take place without the perception of popular anger at a president. The deep state is by nature cowardly. It does not move unless it feels it can disguise its subterranean efforts, or that if revealed, those efforts will be seen as popular and necessary, as expressed in tell-all book titles such as fired FBI Director James Comey's Higher Loyalty, or in disgraced Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe's psychodramatic The Threat. In candidate and President Trump's case, that prepping of the battlefield translated into a coordinated effort among the media, political progressives, and celebrities to so demonize Trump that his imminent removal likely would appear a relief to the people. Anything was justified that led to that end. All through the 2016 campaign and during the first 2 years of his presidency, the media's treatment, according to liberal adjudicators of press coverage, ran 90% negative towards Donald Trump, a landmark bias that continues today. Journalists themselves consulted with the Clinton campaign to coordinate attacks. From the WikiLeaks trove, journalistic grandees such as John Harwood, Mark Leibovich, Dana Milbank, and Glenn Thrush often communicated and even were unapologetic about doing so with John Podesta's staff to construct various anti-Trump themes and have the Clinton campaign review or even audit them in advance. Some contract journalists, in quotes, apparently were paid directly by Fusion GPS, created by former reporters Glenn Simpson of the Wall Street Journal and Susan Schmidt of the Washington Post to spread lurid stories from the dossier. Others, more refined, like Christiane Amanpour and James Rutenberg, had argued for a new journalistic ethos that partisan coverage was certainly justified in the age of Trump, given his assumed existential threat to the truth. Or as Rutenberg put it in 2016, if you view a Trump presidency as something that's potentially dangerous, then your reporting is going to reflect that. You would move closer than you've ever been to being oppositional. That's uncomfortable and uncharted territory for every mainstream non-opinion journalist I've ever known, and by normal standards, untenable. But the question that everyone is grappling with is, do normal standards apply? And if they don't, what should take their place? Left-wing social media and mainstream journalism spread sensational lies about supposed maniacal Trump supporters in MAGA hats. They constructed fantasies that veritable white racists were now liberated to run amok, insulting and beating up people of color as they taunted the poor and victimized minorities with vicious Trump sloganeering. Even as the Covington farce and now the even more embarrassing Jussie Smollett charade evaporated with no apologies from the media and the progressive merchants of this kind of hate. The crown jewel in the coup was the appointment of special counsel Robert Mueller to discover supposed 2016 Trump-Russia collusion. Never has any special investigation been so ill-starred from its inception. Mueller's appointment was a result of his own friend, James Comey's, bitter stunt of releasing secret, confidential, and even classified memos of presidential conversations. Acting DOJ attorney Rod Rosenstein appointed a former colleague, Mueller, although as a veteran himself of the Clinton email scandal investigations and the FISA fraudulent writ requests, Rosenstein was far more convicted than was the recused Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The team soon discovered there was no Trump-Russia collusion and yet went ahead to leverage Trump campaign subordinates on process crimes in hopes of finding some culpability in Trump's past 50-year business, legal, and tax records. The point was not to find who colluded with whom. If it had been, then Hillary Clinton would be now indicted for illegally hiring with campaign funds a foreign national to buy foreign fabrications to discredit her opponent. But to find the proper mechanism to destroy the presumed guilty Donald Trump. The Mueller probe has now failed in that gambit of proving collusion, but succeeded brilliantly in two ways. The counterintelligence investigation subverted 2 years of the Trump presidency by constant leaks that Trump soon would be indicted, jailed, disgraced, or impeached. As a result, Trump's stellar economic and foreign policy record would never earn 50% of public support. And second, Mueller's preemptive attacks offered an effective offensive defense for the likely felonious behavior of John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Bruce Ohr, Peter Strzok, and a host of others. While the Mueller lawyers threatened to destroy the lives of bit players like Jerome Corsi, George Papadopoulos, and Roger Stone, they de facto provided exemption to a host of the Washington hierarchy who had lied under oath, obstructed justice, illegally leaked to the press, unmasked and leaked names of surveilled Americans, and misled federal courts under the guise of a higher loyalty to the cause of destroying President Donald Trump. In sum, the left and the administrative state, in concert with the media, after failing to stop the Trump campaign, regrouped. They ginned up a media-induced public hysteria with a residue of the Hillary Clinton campaign's illegal opposition research and manipulated it to put in place a special counsel stocked with partisans. Then, not thugs in sunglasses and epaulettes, not oligarchs in private jets, not shaggy would-be Marxists, but sanctimonious, arrogant bureaucrats in suits and ties use their government agencies to seek to overturn the 2016 election, abort a presidency, and subvert the Constitution. They did all that and more on the premise that they were our moral superiors and had uniquely divine rights to destroy a presidency they loathed. Shame on all these failed conspirators and their abettors, and may these immoral people finally earn a long-deserved legal and moral reckoning. Amen to that. That is Victor Davis Hanson. 5:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Patrick's ready to go in the news center. Moneypenny will put this piece up on our Facebook. Oh, it already is up. Too efficient. Just too efficient. 5:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show.
Bob McLean!
Ride like the wind. Or, in the case of the hump day commute, creep like a snail. Yeah, I know. Thanks a lot, Bobby, on the text line. Thanks a lot, Bobby. You jinxed the traffic. Good going. Bobby, General Flynn needs to sue this entire lying crowd for about $50 million. And Bob, do we wonder why decent people don't run for president? Well, look, you know, if you've got skeleton number one in your closet, or even if you don't, if you're a conservative, they'll make one up. You'll have skeletons rattling like ice cubes in a drink. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Enjoy. There you go. Oh, that's Jim and Easley? Yeah. Well, apparently Jim is as good as his word. Moneypenny has the lobster roll to prove it. Earlier in the program, Jim sent us a text message that the lobster truck was back in TR and said, do we want some? And Moneypenny said, yeah, I'll take some lobster. So Jim went to the lobster. He was getting lobster himself. He was going to make the trip anyway. But he brought he made a special trip to bring Moneypenny her lobster roll. So pretty nice. We appreciate that, Jim. Good going. About this Columbine-obsessed 18-year-old woman from Florida who apparently committed suicide in Colorado today. Bobby, perhaps she is 18 in Central American caravan migrant years. Could account for her appearance. Bobby, you aired a story about a man who played the lottery for 20 years, finally won $100,000. The real story, the guy finally broke even. Yeah. Well, he hopes he broke even. Bobby, I wonder if it's Trump's fault that a potential school shooter was averted from carrying out a shooting. Yeah, absolutely it is. Right. Bobby, Freedom Action Network and GOP representatives in Colombia won't vote on constitutional carry. Why? Because they know if they did, the first accidental shooting by an open carry guy could cost them their seat. Wind is clearly shifting toward gun regs. Well, the wind is blowing in that direction. Well, are these red flag gun laws that states are passing? Bob, Crazy Bernie pledges to take all of his poor supporters for a ride in his $250,000 Audi R8 with a Lamborghini engine sports car after they vote him into office. Isn't that what all good commie leaders do? Bobby, you mentioned Catfish NATO. There are about 20 corpses at Highway 80 and Northbound 29. Really? More of them? What is this? Is it mass catfish suicide? They jump out of the live well? Or they were making a break for it? Yeah, prison break. Bob, Obama said Bernie didn't earn that money. But Bernie said, wait a minute. I did write the book, the boik. Doesn't he say boik? Yeah, boik. I like your program. Thank you. Appreciate that. I like your being there and listening to it. Hey, Bobby, Bernie's next bestseller, How I Made Millions Selling Socialism to Idiots. Yeah, somebody else, we went through this. Bernie and the ant and the aardvark cartoon. We actually found the ant and the aardvark cartoon when Bernie was running last time around before Hillary rigged the game, keeping Bernie from getting the Democrat nomination in 16. People started pointing out Bernie Sanders sounds like the voice of the aardvark in the old cartoon, The Ant and the Aardvark. And he does. He sounds just like him. So maybe a Moneypenny can dig that up again and we'll find it. Hey, Bobby, did you hear Never Trumper Rick call Vince's show this morning? He was offering Trump lots of free advice on how to get reelected. What a nice guy. Yeah. Yeah. Advice from a guy who voted for Hillary. Yeah. I believe that catches me up with the text line. Yep. Oh, hang on just a second. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hey, Bobby, when I look at the Trump presidency, I think about Happy Gilmore becoming a golf pro. He's learning, but he's becoming a new man. Bob, suicide with a pump-action shotgun? I don't think so. Wouldn't you have to take a shoe off? You know, unless you got really long arms. I mean, I don't want to get too graphic here, but you put the butt on the ground, right? Not the butt of the shotgun on the ground, and you put the barrel under your chin, but then you can't reach the trigger, right? Unless you take your shoe off and use your big toe. I'm just speculating. I still wonder about the questions of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office releases picture, and I'm sorry, but the picture they released does not look like an 18-year-old girl. It looks like a 30-something woman, unless I'm sadly mistaken. Bobby, the fish killers are in high-speed chase involved with Fish and Wildlife. They are trying desperately to reduce the amount of the fines.
Springer.
Yeah, exactly. Woo! Springer. 5:45, quarter before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Amazing True Facts is on the way next.
What?
My sentiments exactly. 5:50, 10 before 6 o'clock here. And 5 o'clock folly is underway on the Bobby Mack Show. And time for today's edition of...
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McClain presents Amazing True Facts.
Thank you, Gary Goodvoice. Today's Amazing True Facts... A list of celebrity IQs has been working its way around the web. Some of those individuals with high IQs include film director Quentin Tarantino, talk show host Conan O'Brien, actor Matt Damon, who reportedly have a 160 IQ. Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking had IQs, 158, 160. So you're telling me that Quentin Tarantino and Conan O'Brien and Matt Damon were smarter than Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking? I have my doubts.
Well, Matt Damon was in Good Will Hunting. Maybe he wasn't acting that part.
Yeah, he was a math whiz in that one. Running just below them, Alicia Keys and Cindy Crawford have IQs reportedly of 154. Kate Beckinsale close behind at 152, although you wouldn't know that by her choice of men, but that a whole other subject. Jessica Alba has an IQ of 151. David Duchovny, the truth is out there, IQ of 147. Meryl Streep, 143. You'd think being that smart, she wouldn't be as big a lefty as she is. Others with high IQs, Natalie Portman, 140, along with Claire Danes, Madonna, Keisha, and Shakira, all said to have IQs of 140. Nicole Kidman, an IQ of 132. And actor James Franco is 130. You know who they didn't put in here in this list? Well, no, not me. I know what my IQ is, but I don't believe it. I had a friend in high school who came up to me and said, "Hey, I heard the two teachers talking in the hall today about the IQ test scores that came back, and your name was mentioned." And I said, "Really? What was it?" And she told me, and I said, "Yeah, baloney. I'm not buying that." Anyway... they didn't mention actor James Woods. He dropped out of MIT. He is reported to have an IQ of 180, which is like off the charts. Okay. Now, the reason I mention that is because David Becker has released a new version of the world's IQ. Each country has a score showing the cognitive abilities of their citizens. Or as we're fond of saying in one of the sweepers that we run, I can explain it, but I can't understand it for you. This being a blend of genetics and environment of each country, especially as it regards health and education. The world's global score, ready for this? world's global score. 82. Wow. Can we go back and grade this on the curve? This is the 12th percentile rank on the Greenwich Mean Intelligence Benchmark of IQ 100. Okay? So, you know, median would be 100, right? Pretty good. Not bad. As school teachers used to say at the end of the year, could do better. That's always a, yeah. Bobby is very bright, but how many times did I see that? So what does an IQ of 82 mean in practical terms? And then they go on to talk about some of the various points of interests. The results for individual countries vary somewhat according to the method used, but they're probably the very best estimates, mostly using psychometric tests, but supplementing them with closely correlated math and science attainment tests, which increases accuracy and country coverage. I don't know. This is kind of interesting. Gives you a rule of thumb as to what countries on average are capable of doing. Can be expected that rising standards of living will boost results, though the rate of intellectual improvement has been slow in many newly rich countries, despite more education funding. So, and then it's got a list of the countries here, some on the bottom and the ones towards the top. Number one is Japan. Number two is Taiwan. Number three is Singapore. Number four is Hong Kong. Number five is China. Number six is South Korea. Number seven, sorry, I can't read what number seven is. Number eight is Iceland. Number 10 is Germany. I can't read number nine. The print is too small on that. So Jimbo left that over. So I wanted to tie that in with the celebrity IQs for today. I found it interesting, you know, whether they've got all, because virtually all of these people, as you might expect, you know, are liberal lefties and Trump haters. And they didn't mention James Wood, who has a higher IQ than any of these individuals, because, of course, James Wood is a conservative. And if you're not on his Twitter feed, you need to be. He is hilarious, and he gives the left no quarter. And to take a break for the news here at the top of the hour, the bonus hour still ahead here on Hump Day on the Bobby Mack Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.